There's been a lot written over the past couple of years about how America is a more polarized country than it's been in the past, and my next guest says the increase in partisanship has led to a decrease in people thinking about something else, the common good. Robert Reich was Labor Secretary under President Clinton. He's currently a professor of public policy at the Goldman School for Public Policy at UC Berkeley. His latest book is called The Common Good. Reich joins me. And Robert, it seems like you're arguing that the concept of the common good is one that is in some ways lost in American society. I'm curious how exactly you gauge that, because it seems like that would be kind of a difficult thing to do.
No, you can't measure it exactly, Mark, but if you look at trust in our major institutions, trust, how much faith people have in government, in business, in banks, in not-for-profits, what you see is a dramatic deterioration, decline in trust over the last 30 years. And that's a proxy for the common good. People don't trust other people. They don't trust the big institutions of our society to do what's right. They suspect ulterior motives by the leaders of these institutions. They feel that the game is rigged. And more Americans really do believe that, according to almost every index, every series of surveys we have. And the question I try to address in the book is why.
Do you find that when people lose trust in big institutions, government, banks, you know, other sort of civil institutions, does that trickle down to other people? Like, do people, for example, not trust their neighbors maybe as much as they used to?
They trust less. And again, all of the surveys, all of the indicators we have is that people have adopted a kind of attitude of, me first. Instead of we're all in it together, there is more of a sense that I better look out for myself and my family.
Do you think that people are totally unjustified in thinking that way? I mean, you think about during the Great Recession and some of the bailouts and headlines that we see pretty constantly about government officials. It seems like people are in some ways at least justified in maybe not trusting some of these people and some of these institutions.
Exactly. And that's the biggest problem, because when a society loses trust, then what you end up with is not much of a society. You end up sort of with a jungle in which everybody is trying to outwit everybody else, or everybody is taking measures that will protect themselves from the possible predations of other people. We have a long legacy of people, documents, beliefs, ideals that are handed down to us about what we owe society, what we owe each other as being members of society. And we have to go back to those founding principles and ideals in order to build up trust. And I try to get to more practical things that we can do in the book.
It seems like that would be a fairly difficult thing to do, especially in the kind of environment, both socially and politically, that we're in now, where in many ways politics is kind of seen as a zero-sum game and compromise is seen as a dirty word.
It's a terribly difficult challenge, but unless we recognize it and seek to overcome the distrust, the polarization in our politics, the sense that we are somehow it's a zero-sum game in which somebody wins only if somebody else loses, we are all going to become losers because that's not really how a society works. We seek out, and we always have to some extent sought out, win-win solutions. If we stop doing that, then we are all going to suffer.
So how do you propose that we go about doing this?
Well, in the book, I talk about a variety of things that we can do. One is civic education. We've got to teach our kids that being a citizen is more than just voting and being on juries and paying taxes. It really has to do with being engaged and rebuilding the institutions of America.
It seems like there are places in Arizona, for example, there has been a renewed emphasis on that. High school students now have to take civics classes. Is that enough?
No. That's one piece of it. Another piece of civics is going back to something we had, again, not that long ago in this country, and that was a draft, or at least 2 years of public service. You don't have to go into the military, but everybody, every young person between the ages of 18 and, let's say, 28, has got to put in 2 years in the service of the public in some respect. And we can get into a discussion of how we define that. But unless we have that, people are not going to have the habits of citizenship. They're not going to know each other across socioeconomic levels and gradients. They're not going to have a sense of who this country is inhabited by. So we've got to go back to public service.
Well, it seems like you're trying to, in some ways here, reverse sort of some of the trends that we've been seeing recently, which is that people, for example, only really socialize with other people who have the same sort of political views and the same maybe socioeconomic characteristics, or people even maybe live in neighborhoods where people are more like them. It seems like you're trying to, in some ways, try to reverse that.
Yes, because if we just move into enclaves inhabited only by people who agree with us, we are going to end our capacity to really talk to people who disagree with us. And as I tell my students all the time, the best way to learn is to talk to somebody who disagrees with you.
How optimistic are you that this will happen?
Well, it depends on what day you ask me.
How about today?
Today I'm optimistic. There is in America an amazing resilience, and you see this historically. I'm a historian as well as an economist, and I understand what has happened to America in past ages, where you see a vast gulf between the rich and everybody else, where everybody has a sense that the institutions that run the country are corrupt and their trust is very, very low. This happened in the 1880s and 1890s, the Gilded Age, as it was called. We, as Americans, we rose up. We took the country back. We took our economy back. We did it again in the 1930s when everybody said, we can't trust the banks, we can't trust government, we can't trust anything. That was the Great Depression. We rebuilt public trust because we rebuilt the common good. We did it again in the 1960s with civil rights and voting rights and Medicare and Medicaid. We made the system work for us, and we can do it again. And we will do it again. When America is at its worst is the beginning of America coming back to being at its best.
All right. Robert Reich, thanks a lot for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark.
Robert Reich is a professor of public policy at the Goldman School for Public Policy at UC Berkeley. He served as labor secretary under President Clinton, and his latest book is called The Common Good.